It might be helpful just to try and give a little bit of explanation. I'm not quite sure what to say, really. I've got a lot of thoughts. I feel like Jesus is doing a lot of things, but let's pray. It's a good start, eh? Let's just pray. Jesus. Lord, you are amazing. Lord, the reality of you is amazing. Your presence, that you're with us, that you're here. It's amazing. You're amazing. Jesus. Lord, I'm asking for an increase of your presence amongst us. I'm asking that we would encounter Jesus that would change our lives forever. I'm asking that we'd be ruined for anything else apart from you and what motivates them. What you're doing. But I'm asking that I or anybody else wouldn't get in the way of us just meeting with you this morning. Lord, there's so much that could be said. But I'm just asking that what needs to be said would be what is said. I'm asking that your Holy Spirit continue just to move amongst us and to change us and that we'd encounter you. Jesus. Thank you for your scriptures. But thank you that they point to you. Jesus. Jesus. Is it just me, or is something happening in our community at the moment? I said a little bit a couple of weeks ago, just the family were away and had some space and time and had lots of jobs to do. Things that Pippa was probably hoping would get done, DIY stuff around the house, while they were away visiting her parents just for a couple of days. She's got to the end of a busy week and so I need to spend some time with Jesus. And just started praying. And I'd forgotten that the presence of God could be like that. And you know, Leslie asked me, last Sunday, you know, how have you been? Because often, sometimes those mountaintop things, you know, you crash down into the valley. And I'm like, you know, it's not been as intense. I just don't have the space when the kids are around and Pippa's around. And there's responsibilities and family and stuff to do and things to do. So I haven't had the same amount of space, but every time I keep praying, do you know, there's something inside me that expects to go back to the way it was. I'm like, oh, I'll come and pray and I'll just feel like there's nothing. But every time I come and pray, just at the moment, it's like Jesus is just there. Something's changing for me about Jesus, about my relationship with Jesus, just at the moment. And I'm really interested. I wonder what's changing for you in your relationship with Jesus. I wonder if there are others that feel like, gosh, something's changing for me. Something's different. Is it just me? Or are there others? Do you know, in one sense, I'm not that interested about what God is doing in our church. But I'm really, really interested about what Jesus is doing with you. I was listening to somebody speak this week. And they just used this scripture and it just tied in for a lot of what I feel like is happening with me and with God, with us rather. And it's in 1 John. Let's just turn to it. I haven't got any PowerPoints. I haven't got any snazzy sermons. This is not a theological exegesis. I'm not after your heads. I can do that. But, you know, in our Western rational mindset, and in this community, we need to be thinking through our faith. It's important. I love theology. I love thinking through faith. I love mining the depths of Scripture. But what struck me right at the beginning, as we just prayed just then, is that Jesus says to the Pharisees, you know the Scriptures. You know them so well, and yet you fail to come to me to have life. And I really believe there is something that's important in our community here, that we are able to think through our faith, that there is a place for teaching and Scriptures and mining the depths of Scriptures. I'm so grateful that there is a great depth of theological insight and understanding. But may it never stop us coming to Jesus to have life. And so John, I think this is written at the end of John's life. He was an old man, disciple of Jesus. He'd walked with Jesus. And this is what he says right at the beginning of 1 John. It's on page 1225 in my Bible. If you've got an iPhone, that's not much help to you. I'm also aware that I'm working out of the NIV 1984 edition, as they're now calling it, because they've now released the 2011 edition, and they've changed it. It's not the same. Sign up for this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. He's talking about Jesus. I think it's really interesting but he's talking about an experience of Jesus. He doesn't say that which we've understood, that which we've learnt. He says that which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked at, our hands have touched, I've missed one out, and which we have heard right at the beginning. Heard, seen, looked at, and touched. He was a disciple. In John's Gospel, he's the disciple whom Jesus loved, seemed to have a really close friendship and intimacy with Jesus. And he's saying it's this experience of Jesus. It's not a knowledge about Jesus. It's not a theology. It's not a teaching. It's this experience of Jesus. This is what I proclaim to you. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. So the life appeared. Jesus, the life. The one who was fully alive. The one who showed us what it means to be fully alive and human. That life appeared. And we have seen it. We have experienced it. And we testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So Jesus has come, and this life has appeared. John has experienced it, and it's that experience of Jesus that he proclaims to others. And we proclaim to you, here's the reason why, in verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship, so here's how you can have fellowship, community would be the word that we might use today. So we proclaim, he's experienced this life of Jesus. He's experienced Jesus. And he proclaims that to others so that they could have community together. But here's the deal. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So we have community with one another when they come into relationship with the Father and the Son. I think what John is saying here is that he doesn't come primarily with a philosophy, an understanding, a theology, a nice set of rational thoughts. He comes with an experience of Jesus. And his goal is to bring others into that experience of Jesus. And then, once we're in that experience of Jesus, we can think through our faith all we like, and it is important to do so. But the reality of the presence of Jesus is what holds us. It's what's present to us all the time. So Jesus says this amazing thing in John chapter 16. Let's just turn there. I wonder if we said Jesus is going to be here at 10:30 on a Sunday morning. How would he come? Who's going to be here early? Okay, there's only a few hands. What if we said Jesus is going to be at this small group at 7:30 on Tuesday night in some flat in Warren de Park Road or Hales Street or wherever? Jesus is going to be there, special guest Jesus. You're probably thinking, no, well, it's not really true. But what if it really was true? How would we come? You know, sometimes I think, well, if Jesus was really here, If this man Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago, wow, wouldn't that be cool? Come on. Wouldn't that be cool? And yet, in John chapter 16, I just think this is extraordinary. I'm not about to be manipulative and say, come on, we all need to turn up tonight to the worship evening. That's not what I'm saying here. I just want us to get the reality of what Jesus is saying and to expose in our hearts, do we really believe this to be true? So he says to his disciples in John chapter 16, now I am going to him who sent me. So here are these disciples, they're in this most amazing, I mean, can you imagine these years of being with Jesus, 3 years of traveling, they've left their jobs, the most amazing miracles, incredible, incredible things. I mean, who was it who talked about the loaves and the, was it the loaves and the fishes? Who was that this morning? I was Simon. I mean, you know, miracle after miracle after miracle, amazing things. And Jesus comes along and says, I'm off, folks. It's been good. And Jesus names their emotion. He says, none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. Well, I'm not surprised. I would be. But I think what Jesus is saying is you just don't get this bigger picture. You don't understand what is going on here. You don't see it. Because you're trying to work it out. Probably you're trying to work it out with your minds. And probably because you're too selfish to really understand it. It's all about you. I'm guessing he doesn't actually say that. But I tell you the truth. Here it is. I think this is extraordinary. It is for your good that I am going away. What? It's for your good that I'm going away. But Jesus, you're here, you're doing these amazing things, and it's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, which is another word for the Holy Spirit, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. I mean, think about that for a minute. Jesus is saying, we are better off than the disciples who lived with Jesus for 3 years. Why? Why is it better? Why is it for their good? I mean, surely to have Jesus walking among, I mean, with them and doing these amazing miracles and stories and teaching and revival and the crowds coming, I mean, surely that would be better, right? But Jesus says, no, it's for your good that I'm going so the Holy Spirit can come. Well, is the Holy Spirit better than Jesus at doing all this stuff? No. Why is it for their good? Well, here's what I think. Because when Jesus walked the earth as a man, he was confined to a body. So he could only be in one place at one time. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he can be with us anytime, anywhere. And he brings the same reality of the presence of Jesus as if Jesus himself was here. So he says in Matthew 28, I am with you. I am with you. Go and make disciples. I am with you. Genesis 26 that we looked at last time about the wells and unblocking the wells. First thing that God says to Isaac is, I am with you. Trace it through the scriptures. I am with you. I will be with you. I am with you. I am with you. Here's the deal, I think. God needs to deal with us. Our ego, so that his withness is all we need. He needs to deal with us so that God being with us is all we really want and all we really need. So when Jesus walks into the house, it's like, whoa, this is what we need. Don't need anything else. I think it's so interesting about Fabrice Muamba. The Sun had a headline, God is in control. And you see these online forums and BBC and comments that go after, and do you know what? They're all skeptical. They're all skeptical. And I understand the questions. I mean, man, which person of faith hasn't thought through why does God heal some people and not others? And what about suffering? And of course, they're legitimate and great questions. And they're important to think through and try and have some answers. I've totally lost the thread of my thinking. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. It's all about Jesus. So here's the thing. In our Western rational mind world in which we live, we will never convince them. We'll never convince them. There'll always be good rational arguments why this doesn't make sense. Do you know, we can come here this morning and we can have good rational arguments why this is a little bit weird. Reality is, it is. But if we get in touch with the hunger and the longing that's deeply in our hearts for something that is beyond us, for something that makes sense of the world in which we live, something that makes us real and calls us out to be fully and really human, it doesn't really matter whether it's a little bit weird. Because what we have to offer to the world around us is Jesus. Not things about Jesus. Not theology or words. Not explanations of the cross or the gospel, as much as that might be needed and helpful. But what we really have to offer is Jesus. And man, if we have not experienced Jesus for ourselves, what have we got to offer? So what have you tasted and seen and touched and looked at of Jesus? What's your story about Jesus? I wish I could describe it to you. Here's Jesus for me. When Jesus walks into the room, it's like, oh, this is what I was really made for. I picture Jesus walking towards me, and it's like the window is opened in a stuffy room, and I can breathe deep breaths of life. When Jesus comes, it's like my whole body tingles. No, it's not even tingling. It's like almost shaking. It's like jittery. Because there's some kind of power and life which is being imparted to me. And I can hardly stand. And my heart feels like it's just being pumped up and blown up inside me. I feel like alive, like I'm never alive at any other point, at any other moment. I feel like I can be really, truly me, because this is who I was meant to be. I feel like some of the wounds and the scars and the pain, do you know, in the presence of Jesus, that's okay. He's partly healing me, and he partly gives me the grace to endure the pain. Jesus, when he comes to me, it's like everything around me seems colour rather than black and white. Some of my anger, some of my frustrations, some of my stuff all just begins to melt away like mountains, the presence of the Lord. Mountains like wax. That's Jesus. That's the reality of who Jesus is. We will never, ever understand that with our rational minds. We can have a good go. We can have a good rational argument with the best of you. Well, maybe not Colin. Actually, we can have some good rational arguments as well, can't we? But it's just when he gets into the... Well, the Greek says... We'll never understand it. And I believe... So here we go. I just want to speak and proclaim some things out just here that I believe to be true. I believe that God is opening up the heavens to us just now. I believe there are seasons in the life of the church. There are seasons where, if we're wise, we learn from every season. This is not a season where we just jettison everything else that we've learned. I'm so glad that there's things like silence that are happening. We've learned about, and we're learning about silence and a place of mission. And God has been at work in our community. But I just believe there is a season now where we can experience Jesus like we've not known him for a very long time, and maybe some of us never known him like that. But it ain't going to just happen. I do believe that there's something of reaching out and reaching up and taking hold of what God is doing. But I do believe that we can experience the presence of Jesus as much as we want to just now. We can just walk into that. Come on. I believe there is favor. I believe there's something of God's favor, and there's favor amongst the people. I was going to say more about this, but I haven't. I believe there's a season of favor. I hear stories of people just finding their ways into situations and thinking, that is so outrageous. It's because there's favor that God is pouring out on us if we get hold of it. We will find ourselves in situations and with favor with people. And it's not for our blessing, our end. It's so that we can release it to be a blessing to other people. But we've got to have the presence of Jesus that we can give to other people and see their lives changed. There are times when we need to learn to walk through the darkest of valleys and know that God is with us. And his rod and his staff, it comforts us. And for some of us, that may be true just now, but there's also times when God will deliver us from the darkest of valleys. And in an instant, he will change us. And I believe that that is available to us now. I'm so aware that there may be some of us that have been in this stuff for 20 odd years, and we've seen moments where God has just come. One day, it's almost like he wasn't there. He was there, of course he was there, but what almost in a moment, he just seems to come in some special way. I remember when I was a student in my first year and grappling with some actually fairly strongholds in my life and some fairly strong addictions. Recently come to faith. And I remember going out for a day with some of the young people in the church. And I won't tell you the whole story because I actually want to take bread and wine just now. But God met me that day. Got baptized about 3 weeks later. Colin had been kind of, come on, Rupert, you need to get baptized. And it was like I was just walking on air for weeks. God met me that day and changed me. And I think that is possible for us today. So we're going to take bread and wine. I'm not going to do that song, Ben. We've run out of time. But let's come and take bread and wine. And I just want to pray for us. that we would experience Jesus. I would love to just lay hands on you. Maybe there's some others as well who will join me. Colin will, I know. Can we clear some of these chairs? And if you want to experience more of Jesus, if you're hungry for that, we'd love to pray with you this morning.
The message of the cross is stupidity to those who are perishing. But to us who are being rescued, it's the power of God. It's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has God not made stupid the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs. Greeks look for rational explanations. My translation. But we present Christ crucified. It's a stumbling block to Jews, and it's stupidity to non-Jews. But to those whom God's called, whether Jews or Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the stupidity of God is wiser than man's best wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's best strength.
I'm just going to gather and take bread and wine. As we take bread and wine, we're not just drinking grape juice or wine as in some symbolic way, or eating bread in some symbolic way. I don't believe they literally turn into the body and the blood of Christ, but I do believe that we are eating Christ and drinking Christ. We can encounter him in these elements, and he can change us and heal us and transform us. And so I'm going to invite you just to do that. We'll pray in a sec. And then if you would like hands to be laid on, I believe that when we lay hands on people, it's not just a kind of charismatic way of prayer. Actually, what it is there is an impartation of the Spirit. And what God has been doing with us, when we lay hands on someone else, it's to impart that to the other person. So you see Joshua having hands laid on by Moses. And some of the authority and the anointing that is on Moses, and it says it specifically in the scriptures in Deuteronomy and Numbers, I think it is. that part of the authority that was on Moses was transferred, was imparted to Joshua. Not transferred, imparted. And so we'd really love to lay hands on you. If you want more of Jesus, just come and gather after you've taken bread and wine just here. And we're just going to lay hands on you. We're not going to ask you what you want prayer for. We're just going to assume that you're asking for prayer because you want more of Jesus in your life. Okay? And we'll just lay hands on you and pray for that impartation. And if you need to go at any point, that's absolutely fine. Please go. Don't forget to sign up for the prayer room on the board. There's loads of spaces. If you're around at 6:30 to 10:30, you'd like to come tonight or other points during the week, it'd be lovely to see you. But let's just take this bread and wine just now. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the life of Jesus. We thank you for that life that came, that he showed us what it means to be fully alive and fully human. That the life of God was in him. And thank you, Lord, that we can experience that life too. We can experience it in this bread and this wine. We can experience it by your Spirit, the reality that Jesus is with us. That is amazing. And so we thank you for your body and for your blood. Your body that was broken for us. Your blood that was shed for us. That we might have life too. The life of God. That is in us and flows through us to a world that desperately needs that life. Thank you. Come. Come and eat. Come and drink. Wood, wine, grape juice here, although there's a little bit of a half a wood one which has got grape juice in as well. Come. Come and take, come and eat from Jesus. Come and expect that Jesus is here and that he will meet with us. And then if you would like us to pray for you, Colin and I, maybe others, if you feel like you'd like to pray as well, we would love that. That would be brilliant.